This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Dia.
Rana.
We have a dear old friend dropping by the carriage house today.
We do.
And so I am too excited to barely get through any of this. If there's any business, if there's any reviews, if there's any anything, I want to do it now so that I'm prepared, because this guy is a dear old friend and he expects me to roll out the red carpet.
He's been part of Ask Rana now. This will be his third time, because his second time was a flash, but he still participated.
In the live show.
Yes.
Yes. In our Valentine's Lonely Hats. He sent us a little video.
And I think I said something that I thought he could have dressed up a little bit more, but then you told me he was watching it and I got really embarrassed.
Well, it didn't make it untrue.
I guess not.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Rana. You know, sometimes people need to hear things. I wonder what he'll be wearing today. Maybe nothing.
Maybe nothing. One can hope.
We'll see if it's a response. If there's a call and response with his live show appearance. So, of course, we're welcoming Justin Kirk today.
Fabulous. You know him from everything. From Weeds, from
Angels in America.
He was on Perry Mason.
This past year.
Everywhere. Brilliant actor.
Incredible. So we're going to have him on. But in the meantime, I feel like we've been a little bit remiss on some of our older. I will say this, people have been writing reviews.
They have been. So we should shout them out here.
If it's okay with you, I dug back a little bit.
The big dig, Rana,
Exactly, to a few that we missed. Because I don't want people to think that just because they wrote them, we were not going to say
that's
them.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. So.
So would you like me to kick it off?
Always.
Okay.
Always.
EAD925, 5 stars only. My only complaint about listening to Ron and Brian.
I guess I didn't read this carefully. Yeah.
Is that on occasion I laugh so hard that I wake the sleeping baby in my arms who refuses to be put down in his crib in the middle of the night. Worth it. Kiss, kiss.
Oh, that's cute. Look at that. People are losing sleep over this.
Exactly. Waking up their own babies.
Yeah.
Being like, you got to listen to this.
That's how great. I bet the baby would give 5 stars.
By the way, the baby's going to grow up with such a terrific sense of style, humor, refinement.
What a fun parent.
No kidding.
Yeah. Listening to podcasts in the middle of the night while the baby steals their life from them.
That's right. Almost Jewish says, beloved. That's the headline.
Almost Jewish.
I've been a longtime fan of Rana's, but somehow didn't learn about this podcast until a few months ago. Since then, I've been devouring the weekly free feed and Patreon episodes, and I'm working my way back through the archives. I have to admit, it's sort of a morbid pleasure to listen back to the questions and advice from the early COVID quarantine days. How innocent we all were. 5 stars always for my queen and her court jester. Kiss, kiss.
It's pretty good.
And finally, Bobcha Zenobia says, close your eyes, open your ears, dear. Let Rana's melodious voice, melodious, what do you say?
I guess I would say melodious. I'd say melodious.
Let Rana's melodious voice carry you to Shangri-La on a longboat named Brian. EXO forever.
That's very nice. And you know what? That was just one sentence.
It can be, this is the great thing about reviews. Yep. They can be one sentence, they can be a thought. They can even be stream of consciousness, because that's more the forum for that than the letters we get.
Oh, yeah.
But you can do it all. And I just want to tell everyone, in case I don't mention, I don't remember if I mentioned it earlier, I'm all in on hacks, Rana. Thank you for that recommendation.
Oh, of course.
I'm all in on it.
Yes,
I've been watching every episode.
If people are looking for a summer watch, that is a great show.
Especially in a time where it seems like everything on the everything on the air is so depressing.
What's your most depressing show that you're watching right
now? I'll tell you a depressing show I'm watching that I love.
Now you've got me watching old Datelines again, which I can't believe, but.
This one this week was so good.
Were you watching, I heard you talking about that. Were you watching a new episode of Dateline or an old episode of Dateline?
Sometimes I watch new, sometimes I watch old, but the one this week was the new one. It aired Friday. I just watched it on Peacock.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm also watching, you know, Barry Jenkins is doing, do you want to know what I do? I'm not even kidding. This is what I did last night. This is what I do. I watch, Barry Jenkins is doing the Underground Railroad, the Colson Whitehead show.
Yeah.
It is so stunning. It is so beautiful. I mean, it's like only something, the style of it is only Barry Jenkins. It is very, very difficult to watch. It is very,
I bet.
Very difficult to watch, but it is so stunningly filmed and so gorgeous.
I loved Moonlight. Moonlight was absolutely stunning.
And I loved
Beale
Street. He just knows how to do that. And the acting's stunning. I cannot go to bed on that show.
No.
So what I do is the Underground Railroad.
And then
Hacks.
Wendy.
Oh, and then Hacks. No, yeah, I do Hacks after.
Yeah.
And the Lobsterman watched with me and he was like, okay, this show I can go to bed on. So that was good.
Oh, I didn't know he really had an opinion.
No, he doesn't.
I thought he could go to bed on any surface, really.
Well, we got
used to sleeping on top of a storage container.
He can sleep on anything. And we got in a knockdown drag out fight because I said, no, it wasn't. It's a railroad in the series. It wasn't actually a railroad. And he was like, yes, it was. No, it wasn't. Yes, it was. No,
I
it
have
wasn't.
To say, so, I've always found that very confusing.
Sure.
As a child, anyway. I wanted to
well,
know
yeah, as a kid, maybe.
Where the railroad was. Because
Portia found it confusing. Remember on Atlanta? She thought it was real.
How about Portia? I mean, by the time this comes out, I don't know whether she'll be in a relationship or not, but did you know that she's dating Fallon's ex-husband? And is engaged to him?
Which is crazier, that or Bennifer 2.0? I can't tell.
They'll both be over by the time this is. There's no question about it.
I got to say, every picture of Bennifer, they both look really angry.
They
don't look like they're having a good time.
I only saw the pictures of them in Montana. Have there been other pictures?
No, I guess that was the one I saw. But every picture I've seen, they look really unhappy, which means they must be flying off the walls in whatever place they're staying at or stayed at.
Well, I wonder if they're both getting back at people. I don't know what's going on there.
Something's
exactly
being devised.
Yeah.
Well, Rana, should we jump right in? Our terrific guest is here.
We should. That's exactly what we should do. I'd love to.
Good.
Rana here, and I am so excited to tell you about our newest sponsor, ZocDoc. So many people put their personal health priorities to the side during the pandemic, and there has never been a better time for an app like ZocDoc. With ZocDoc, whether you're looking for a primary care physician, a dentist, a dermatologist, a psychiatrist, an eye doctor, whatever specialist, ZocDoc has you covered. You go on the app, you search for local doctors who take your insurance, read verified patient reviews, and book an appointment in person or video chat. Never wait on hold with a receptionist again. So if you don't have a friend like Rana that you can text and say, what about this one? What about that one? Who do I go for this mole, et cetera, et cetera? ZocDoc is absolutely the answer. Go to ZocDoc.com/AskRana and download the ZocDoc app to sign up for free. Pardon me. Now is absolutely the time to prioritize your health all over again.
Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless.
So download the free Anka app now or go to anka.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss.
Brian.
Rana.
I know he's a friend of the show, okay? So we act very casual. But he's an absolute Hollywood star. And I don't know if he is on Zoom with us from the highest street in Hollywood. That's the impression I'm getting.
I was about to say, I feel like if David Lynch made Mulholland Drive like a comedy, that's what this house looks like.
You know what? I happen to know David Lynch lives not that far from here.
Really?
And I actually drove past his house / office. I think it's called Asymmetrical Films in a sort of stalkery kind of way because I'm a huge fan, I'm an aficionado to say the least. Yes.
Did you instantly start meditating? Does that just happen right when you get around his house?
I did. My mantra just started popping right out of my
fantastic
mouth.
Justin, your place is gorgeous. I mean, we're only seeing the background, but it looks like a Hollywood movie.
What's up?
Stunning.
Look at that. Is that one of the minions from Universal City?
That is Universal over there. So
yeah, I thought I saw Harry Potter's castle.
I was hoping that the fireworks would happen at night. I haven't seen them yet, but anyway.
Gorgeous.
Yes, I moved during
the pandemic.
The lockdown, indeed. Lived in my home for 18 years and thought, why not? Seems like a good time to hire a bunch of movers.
But see, that makes you perfect. That makes you perfect for our show because we're always giving people advice. Well, not that you weren't perfect to begin with, but you are just like one of our listeners. You've made a move during the pandemic in order to shift the energy around the pandemic, which what people have been trying
to
do.
Had you been thinking about moving pre-pandemic?
No.
Was it just being at home all the time
or something? Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think on a couple occasions I thought, will I ever leave? Because I liked my old place. And then just drunkenly with a friend one night was like, maybe it's time. And then put some feelers in and here we are.
Lovely.
How are you settling into the new space? Is it tough to be in a new space after being in an old space
for 18 years?
Or do you not even remember the old space now?
It's funny you say that. Once I had made the choice and got over here, I didn't even like, and then I, you know, sold the old place and I didn't even like going over there. I was like, that's yesterday's news, man.
You know, I was watching Phantom Thread yesterday.
For the
4,000th time.
You got it.
And it just popped up. And he says to her, he's dying to get rid of it. They have that wonderful scene with the asparagus where he throws a tantrum.
She's driving him crazy.
Why would you ever, you know how I like my asparagus. And he says that, I can't remember the exact quote, but he is amazed at his own gallantry that he even can pretend to enjoy her asparagus.
And as a person who's only seen it once, it's not poisoned, right? That's not the poison.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Very shortly after. In fact, the scene right after. She poisons him.
It gives me an idea, Rana.
Oh, yeah?
I wouldn't mind phantom threading you only because I feel like you'd appreciate me more.
If you just knocked me down a little notch.
Just got you a little.
Made Justin, me vulnerable.
Has anyone tried to phantom thread you? Anyone tried to make you sick so you'd love them more?
There have been times where I felt a little, something was wrong in the tummy. So maybe that was what had happened. And I didn't.
I certainly could see you as a candidate for that. I will say that.
I could see
that you would have a couple of girlfriends who wanted to just knock you back a little bit and make you need them a little bit more.
My Chrysler Sebring convertible had been slit down the top in my driveway, and I always assumed that was something, you know.
Whoa, or
ex's boyfriend or something. Or, I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, what are we going to do? You can't really go down that hole, or else your paranoia will just.
Oh, you just pretended it didn't. You just pretend. You just got the roof fixed, and that was that. You moved on.
Well, yeah. I mean, actually, listen. The times that
Brian would be investigating that in a trench coat.
I would have already changed my name. I would have gone into hiding for a year. Yeah.
I was that home that we were speaking of was broken into twice. And on one occasion, at least, I assumed it was probably someone I knew.
It's right.
But then
sure.
What are you going to do? What are you going to just like, you just have to say, all right, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't on.
What did they take? The people that
well,
you thought
it's funny. The first time, it was just a quick break, smash and grab, and took the laptop.
Sure.
Okay.
The second time was a professional job. The second time I came home and the door was slightly ajar and the TV had been removed from the wall, which, I mean, I would never even know how to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Things were turned over. The, you know, drawers
were
dumped.
They had spent time in there.
It spent some time and obviously knew the time to come, you know, that I was
How long were you out of the house? Were you working at that time?
I was rehearsing a play. Uh-huh. And then I came home in the evening, and so I don't know when that happened, but I have been
was
gone.
Was Helter Skelter written on the wall or anything?
And it just said pig.
Okay.
It just said pig in blood. Blood. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I would have gotten out of there sooner than you did. Justin, are you going to have a Hollywood party? Are you going to have a big Hollywood party for your new place by Joan Collins or something?
I'm awaiting my CB2 table and chairs.
Fair
which,
enough.
Which should be arriving anytime. And then I feel so bougie talking like this on the podcast.
Oh, but, no. But, people don't think CB2 is very fancy. So
okay, good.
Yeah, you're
exactly
talking to
right.
Rana.
I don't know what I was thinking of. yes, those are, it's outdoor. My,
I
have a lovely home here with the crazy view and everything, but yeah, I think were I to bring a large amount of people, it would be an outdoor scenario.
Well, so Rana and I just read Hollywood Wives by Jackie Collins. So we could put together the guest list, Rana.
Oh,
easily.
I mean, Joan Collins would for sure be there.
Yeah. We'd have to get Wolfgang Puck and the other guy from Mommy's On to cater it.
Brenda Vaccaro would come.
Yeah.
We try to get Danielle Steele if she were in
Shakira
town.
And Michael Caine. I hate to tell you, Justin could invite them. He played Michael Caine's son in a movie.
That's true.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. We got that. We got a party now. This
what
sounds
did
great.
You? I want to go back to one thing because what I was going to say, his quote was from Phantom Thread. Just to finish that.
Oh yes, sorry.
Was not at all. Was a house that doesn't change is a dead house. So that was what made me think of the change from moving, that a house has to always be evolving and moving forward.
And does the house also mean everything, us, our lives, our
I think it does, particularly for him. But what I really want to know is what Michael Caine was like. And then we have to move on because this really isn't what this show is about.
Michael Caine was a lot of fun. We did this movie in...
Did you meet Shakira, the wife?
That's what we really want to know.
For a second, I was thinking, what's the connection between? Yes, we had dinner. We,
oh my God, what a class act she is. She's beautiful.
She was lovely. And he was super cool and enjoyed, you know, a drink in the hotel bar and telling old Hollywood stories. Sure. Sometimes, you know, repeating them because one forgets as one does after drinks or many
age
years.
Plus drinks.
Age plus drinks. I know it. But
a raconteur, a bit of a raconteur.
Yeah, and super friendly. And
Shakira, was she stunning? And did she say
beautiful.
A word?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
yes, of course, yes.
Oh, does she? I bet she just asks a well-placed question.
I think that's true, too. Look, I'm an old drunk, too, so I barely remember.
Sure.
I think this was 2011, so that's 10 years ago now, for God's sake.
Sure.
Sakes.
She might have been like, Michael, you already told that one. Or
that's right. No, she didn't join us the hotel bar drinks.
Got it. She was on Rodeo Drive saying, going into...
This was in
know.
Paris.
No,
I
we were in Paris.
Oh, in Paris.
Brussels and Cologne.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she was at the Evian Spa or something. Who knows?
That's right. Yeah.
I think she would sit at the dinner, that she would come to dinner with the, was it just the three of you? Or was it someone else?
The director as well. So it was,
and I assume she just sort of said, so tell me, Justin, where did you grow up? Or something like that. And you say, oh, and you said, wherever you said, Minnesota, Seattle, whatever you said.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said, oh, isn't that fascinating? We were in Seattle once.
Oh, like a hostess.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I imagine. That she
keeping
keeps the conversation going. Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's like
looking
she's
gorgeous.
Here right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Rana, we should put her on a future guest list. See if she'll
come
on.
Definitely. We'll talk to Hannah. We'll get Shakira Caine.
We'll get Shakira Caine. I bet she's never been on a podcast.
I bet.
We would
that's
be her
all
first.
She does these
She's
days.
Been dying to be asked this whole time. No, she's probably in Pilates. Then she drinks a gallon of water. Then she does her correspondence.
Yeah.
And then she takes probably a 32-minute nap. And
delicious.
Then it's time to start preparing for the evening.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Rana, would you like me to read the first question?
No, I'm going to read it.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Hello, Rana and Brian, and lovely guest, if applicable.
It is.
That's
it, for sure.
On every level. Thank you for your wonderful show. I am so obsessed with this podcast. From the coffee to the wonderful gift recommendations during Veronica, this podcast has been my silver lining all of this past year. People need to come up with a new expression other than silver lining, Brian.
Wow, Rana, that was a compliment we just got.
Well, I'd like a more original one.
Okay.
But thank you, nonetheless.
Oh, yeah.
I am writing to you today with a bit of a sticky situation, and I would appreciate your critical yet solid advice on how to approach the situation. A bit of background. I hope this doesn't put me over the impending word limit. This question involves three people: myself, my boyfriend, Carson, and my best friend, Julia.
I like where this is going.
This is going to be your kind of question. Anything that involves three people.
Carson Kressley and Julia Roberts.
I don't know what that means, but go ahead. Yeah.
A few months ago, Julia and her long-term boyfriend broke up. It was sad at the time, but they both handled it pretty well. Since then, and since we've all been vaccinated, myself and my boyfriend have been doing more social activities with some of my friends. About a month ago, we were out in a bigger city, okay, whatever that means. And Julia was lamenting about how nice Carson was and how he was such a great boyfriend. I agreed. She then told Carson that he should pretend to be her boyfriend for the weekend too, so that she would have an excuse if any men tried to talk to her. Excuse me. She said to me, you don't mind sharing him, do you? I did.
Oh, boy.
Sharing him. What is this, 1983? That sounds like a soap opera line.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Can't you don't mind share.
If, yeah. Shakira Kane might have said something like that in
Definitely.
Her lifetime. You don't mind if we share him, do you?
Yep.
Since then, there have been a few more odd encounters. She remarked to me how cute he is, and she seems to always corner him into talking whenever we hang out. I'm not worried about him doing anything, but I feel as if she's crossing a line, ? I especially felt that way when this past weekend, after going out, she decided that she would be staying the night at our apartment instead of going home to her own place after a few drinks. This would have been fine, but everyone else we were with went home to their own homes, and she continued to insist on crashing at our place. She also reminded me about 5 times that she, quote, didn't mind if Carson and I had sex while she slept on the couch right outside of our bedroom.
Got it.
I assured her each time that we were both very tired and no sex would be had. But she continued to insist. Am I overreacting to her comments? Should I say anything at all? Or should I just let it lay it to rest? Thank you both. And I hope Brian gives them some kind of advice about getting one or the other to ingest bleach. XX, please don't use my name.
Justin, what do you
we
think?
We have no sense of, do we have any sense of how old these people are? Like,
well,
are they 22 or are they 60?
I think they're 28. Or 26.
Sure.
They're 26.
God, but
to
now I wish
32.
They were 60.
I know. That would be fine. If they were 60, it's no question it's a threesome she's looking for.
Sure. Well, yes, exactly. I think you're probably right. Like late 20s, early 30s, maybe.
Yeah, she lives with her boyfriend, but they're not married. And people still think it's okay to crash at people's houses after a few drinks. And, you know. It feels late 20s, early 30s to me.
I mean, if she means it, and it's true that she says that she trusts the boyfriend but not the friend, then she should just take it as a, as like, I guess I've got a happening boyfriend that everybody wants.
Can you ever really trust your boyfriend?
Well, that's...
What do you think, Justin? Having been a boyfriend, do you think...
I can't remember. But Yeah, well, I guess it all depends on Julie too. I like how she names Julie, but not she won't identify herself.
It's true.
Quite possible. I mean, we just don't know how he feels about Julie. Also, the first time where she said, "Can he pretend to be my boyfriend?" I mean, did that mean when they were all out together and they were going to pretend it was a sort of polyamorous scenario and mm-hmm. that he was there with his two wives? I don't know. I think
she was going to have.
Yeah, no, me yeah. too. Me too. Yeah. My first question, which I think is clear, I was like, is this a guy writing in or a woman? But I think if it were a guy writing in, he wouldn't obviously be threatened that his boyfriend might be doing things.
Well, if it was a guy writing in, they'd all be having sex at this point.
It's true. Everyone would be effing. I would not like this personally. If I were,
oh yeah, Julie's not your friend, dear.
Yeah, I think that I would not. I'm sure you do trust your boyfriend, but why put anyone in a situation where someone wants someone, or the two of you, and you don't want that back? I mean, I do think it's wild to me. Really, it goes from she might have a crush on your boyfriend to she wants to hear him have sex. Like that's spank bank material for her somehow, or it's the two of you. It would make me very uncomfortable. And I would say, give up your boyfriend. She won, that's my ultimate advice. Break up.
Julia won won?
Julia sounds way more exciting. She sounds like she's up for anything. She sounds maybe like she's a risk taker.
Maybe the one that she really loves is the letter writer. And so she's pitching the boyfriend of it all to try to open up this throuple.
Exactly.
Well, that could be something too.
No, get rid of Julia, is what I say.
Julia has to go.
Out of your house at least, but this is, not
good. No more drunken nights with Julia. I know that's a hard thing to say because you, however old you are, and that's all there are drunken nights.
Although
unless you want to have a threesome with Julia, that's
also,
the other option.
I enjoy, maybe you can keep, but at least back in the day anyway, I always enjoyed listening to sex.
From
outside the door. I worked at the
Royalton. Where did you have the opportunity?
I worked at the Royalton Hotel as a overnight bellboy.
Sure.
And so often when you would check in a particularly lascivious looking couple, you just return in 20 minutes or so and see what you can hear.
You know what?
Really?
It was a different time.
Where's that Sofia Coppola directed short film?
No kidding. If I worked at a hotel, I would do anything I could to sort of get me through the night. I don't blame you one bit for that. That sounds like a nice time.
There was a lot of speed too, if I remember. I was taking, they were called mini thins.
Mini thins.
Remember those? Yeah.
Yes. Suck
or no, speed. No dose. Was that
you could buy them at like the gas station.
That's right. I mean, it was essentially the first step of meth. It was pseudoephedrine.
That's right. Wait, you were taking the mini things or people at the hotel?
I was working midnight to eight. Oh, so yeah. You bet. Damn right I was.
You're right. Pro meth. We're all pro
and,
meth.
You know, 23 or 24 years old. So
fun.
Did anyone ever invite you into their hotel room?
Great question.
I mean, I feel like if I answer, I think so. Nothing ever. Thrilling as I would like to happen. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
I was out of town when apparently Anna Nicole Smith and her friends were there, and they were inviting Bellman, et cetera, to come and join and interact. And I was doing like a play in New Jersey or something, like an asshole.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell us that story now because she's long deceased. Yeah. So
I mean it as a compliment. Yeah.
And I think it only enhances her reputation.
I don't think any of us would question that she liked an adventure.
No, she was a libertine.
I watched there was a bio, some TV bio on her recently, and it sounds like she was always up for some new adventure.
All kinds of adventures.
I'm sure.
Yeah, she was cool.
Sure. I could watch her present that award to Al Pacino for the rest of my life. Did you foresee it?
Come on. Is that true?
She says his name, or I don't, maybe it's in an interview where they're like, who do you like? And she just goes on about Al Pacino and it's incredible.
Right.
Yeah. It's really good.
Julia has to go, dear. Julia has designed, unless you're open to this arrangement. But I think Justin's on to something. She's got designs on somebody here.
Yeah.
And it's either you it or it's him you. Or it's
you're
both
right,
of
Justin.
You.
That's right.
I have sympathy for Julia, though. I mean, I feel like she's sad right now. She's this relationship
she's a little messy.
Ended, and she's looking for love.
Well, she's
with
looking
familiar
for
faces
something.
In all the wrong right.
Yeah.
Right.
Looking penub.
What does that mean?
That's Gumby from SNL.
Oh, right.
He had his own album, and he's saying, right. Looking, instead of looking for love, he's saying, looking for penub. Eddie Murphy, early Eddie Murphy, just the fact that he played Gumby
best.
For I don't know how long he played Gumby. He just kept doing Gumby sketches. In any event, yes, don't, you just have to be, first of all, you have to try not to put yourself into these situations with her in the first place if you don't want to be in them. But other than that, you have to be firm and you have
you know
to
what?
Say,
maybe just
I'm calling
make it
you
conscious.
An Uber.
Yeah, maybe just sit her down, have a drink or three and be like, what's really happening here? And then,
I mean, honestly,
and maybe
that's
she'll start
the best
crying
idea.
Or maybe they'll start kissing. Who knows?
Yeah.
Either way, you'd like a front row seat.
Either way, call us. That's right.
But just beware that when you invite her to that dinner, there's a chance she'll show up looking exactly like you. Like I would start checking, has she cut her hair recently? Has she changed her wardrobe? That sort of a thing.
And this meeting should take place sans boyfriend, of course.
Correct. Yeah. And not near a balcony.
And she absolutely is sending signals, letting you know that she's open to this. I mean, she
definitely.
Is open. You know, I want
to
sit outside your door like a dog while you have sex.
And for you to repeatedly have to say, like, no, we're not having sex tonight. It's, I mean, that is so outrageous. She's dropping these hints hard. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also putting you in a situation, though, where you have to start being the school mom a little bit.
Yeah.
And so it makes, it could start affecting the sexiness of the dynamic you have with your boyfriend because you keep having to shut it down every time she's around. So it means you go home and you shut down by the time you get home. You're not interested in any of that.
Yeah.
And so he might actually start looking over to Julia a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Wow, Rana.
Well, well, well. All right, dear. Why don't we go to number two?
Okay, perfect.
Did we close the book on number one, do you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, there was a note on the thing that said this letter is a woman. This letter writer is a woman. So we know that for sure now.
Yeah.
Not that, I mean, I think we did before anyway. Okay.
I think we did.
Dear Ron and Brian, I've been a longtime fan of
both. And Justin, of course.
And Justin. Yeah. I've been I'm just quoting here.
Sure.
I've been a longtime fan of both of your various projects over the years and a listener of Ask Rana with Brian since the very beginning. I've learned so much from the advice you share with people, and I've often fantasized about writing in with a question myself. Today is that day. We make fantasies come true in the form of an email. Now that I have a reason to write in, I'm not feeling so fantastical.
Oh.
My partner and I, gay, are financially incompatible. We've been together 5 years and lived together for three. We moved together right after I graduated from college and I had pennies to my name. Oh, I think they're saying, and I had pennies to my name. He has worked, I guess when someone says pennies to my name, it's not that they're rich. It's that they have, you know, it's pennies. They've
just a couple of pennies.
Exactly. I was like, oh, pennies, honey. I don't know why I read it as if you were. He has worked as a
got so many pennies.
So many pennies.
Yeah.
He has worked as a CNA.
What's a CNA?
They don't say.
All right, I'll look that up while you're talking.
He has worked as a CNA in various settings the entire time we've been together. We've built a life together that I cherish, but it always feels like we can't.
Certified nursing assistant.
Okay. We've built a life together that I cherish, but it always feels like we can't quite get ahead. I'm always making ends meet. This is nothing new for me. I've always supported myself since I moved to New York City at 18. My partner's about 7 years older than me, and he usually has his middle-class parents to fall back on if he was in desperate need of help. I love how we complement each other in almost all other aspects of our relationship. But come on, we all know that conflict about money is the number one relationship killer. When I say we're financially incompatible, I mean that I keep track of almost every dollar in and out of my checking account, and he has no idea what his account balance is. I dream of being able to have 6 months worth of living expenses saved up as an emergency fund, and he at times has let his account go into negative for weeks at a time. I didn't even know this was possible. Last week, I pressed him for more information about where he stood financially and found out he won't have enough money to pay his share of the rent. We're at a point where I'm basically part of his family, and sometimes the topic of marriage comes up, but I know that in reality, we have no future if this behavior continues. However, I do believe that good financial habits can be learned, and I feel dumb and in love enough to stay with him if he commits to learning them. Where do I need to draw the line and decide to break things off for my own financial safety and mental well-being? I don't want to present him with an ultimatum, but this is beyond ridiculous in my opinion. I'm begging you two for any advice that you have. I'm turning 26 in a few weeks, which may not be the worst age for a man, according to Rana, but I feel like it's a close second. Kiss, kiss, Bill, not my real name.
Wow, you guys get people with real concerns.
This is a real one, yeah. Yeah.
So the boyfriend's 33 and he's 26.
That's a big difference in terms of, I actually think in terms of where your head is at with finances and stuff, I think that's a big difference.
But he's the younger guy is the guy who's more focused on saving and
yes, and that's stability. What I mean is that at 33, it's sort of, this is what I want to know though. Is this CNA, the older guy, not focused on saving or does he just not make a lot of money? In other words, like, is he, look, most jobs in New York or many jobs in New York are paycheck to paycheck. I would think a CNA would be that sort of a job maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, is he not actively saving money or is he just paycheck to paycheck?
He says that, I don't know what he's spending on, but he says the thing about having his parents to fall back on, which makes me think that this is what happens is that he lives a little bit beyond his means. I mean, he's not saying to us, I came home and he put $100,000 Airstream trailer on his credit card.
Right.
He's saying it's driving him crazy that this guy is not as responsible and on top of it as he is. And that by extension, he also sees this as some sort of immaturity, I assume.
And I guess the concern, even though it sounds like they keep things relatively separate, is that the day's going to come where the other one is going to be in terrible straits and he's going to have to bail it out.
Right.
How can I move forward with this person when we're not on the same page about what it means to plan a future? And also that this older guy's, you know, maybe he feels that on some level, this is indicative of his commitment level. That thing where people get angry at people because usually happens around 29, actually, where they think you're not serious. You're not getting serious. And so if you were serious about me, you would be doing A, B, and C. And usually sometimes that's true, that they're not serious about the relationship. And sometimes they just have bad habits. But that you've decided to take that personally and internalize that because this is your hot issue.
And I got to say, I know I've done exactly what you're talking about, Rana, probably mostly around that age, but probably even a few years beyond, where I was so frustrated with someone I was seeing because they weren't doing what I wanted them to do. And I'll tell you what that can do is make you really unkind in many situations to this person.
And resentful as can be.
Exactly. And so I don't know. I think if you're actually talking marriage to this person, I do think maybe one thing to do would just be like, my concern is sort of the finance stuff. I wonder if we could go through a month where we're tracking what we're doing with our money or something. I don't know. It's money is fucking tough. People say it doesn't matter. It does.
Of course it matters.
I mean, we live in a country where it really does. So,
but it also just matters because it is an expression of the way, as you say, it hits this issue for so many people, which is, I want you to do things the way I do things, or I don't understand why a person could be a certain way. And so it becomes about conforming to your norms because there's so much insecurity around it.
And also everyone's perception of money is so different. I mean, it's inherited sometimes. It depends on what you make or what you want to be making. It even depends on your happiness level. Are you happy with what you're doing, not making a lot of money, or are you not? I mean, money is a weird thing. Justin, what do you think?
I'm stuck. It all sounds
good. It's tough.
I mean, I guess it depends. It depends on what the relationship looks like going forward in terms of the difference between, you know, being completely separate in terms of your finances or having a joint account, you know?
You can't be married and keep things separate.
Well, I don't know. Sounds like they have so far. And and if you can maintain that, and then you just determine, all right, well, I'm responsible for this thing, right? The food, or although it sounds like, you know, they split rent.
The thing about the rent is interesting to me because he's saying, I pressed him on it and he said he didn't know if he was going to be able to make rent this month. But
right. That's a communication issue because that's something someone needs to know.
But I don't think that's really what he's saying. I think he's saying, I don't have enough money for rent, but it doesn't matter. I'll just get my parents to help me because that is, I wonder if he's actually never paid the rent. Or if it's his version of, he sorts it out the way, however he sorts it out. And he always pays the rent. So what do you care how I come up with the rent?
Right.
Is if we're playing the older guy, the nurse's position for a second. What do you care? I have never said to you, I need you to cover the rent. There's nothing in this letter where he says he borrows money from me. He doesn't pay for dinner.
Right.
He doesn't blah, blah, blah.
There's nowhere in here you saying he's taking advantage of me.
He is not negatively impacting your life through his sort of financial irresponsibility. The way that he is negatively impacting your life is that you can't understand how a person could live like that. And it's driving you nuts. And it's not the kind of you actually are saying, should I break up with this guy now? Cause it's going to drive me crazy for the rest of my life that he's not financially responsible. There are plenty of people that get into marriages and one person does all the finances and the other person just lives by those rules. And that's how that is. I don't know whether you want that arrangement or you don't. My guess is it wouldn't work that well because you'd put him on a budget and he'd come to the end of the month and he'd say, oops, I forgot to tell you about a tennis racket. Mm-hmm. Or whatever.
A dark secret like that, yeah.
That's how at the moment, his relationship, and yours to some extent as well, you're both enmeshed with your sort of family and origin stuff.
Yes.
So the way you deal with finances is shaped by that, as is he.
That's what I meant. I think I didn't say it right, but when I said inherited, I didn't mean literally the money you inherit. I meant the behaviors you inherit.
Okay. Because I thought you meant the money you inherited, which also I think is part of what's going on here is that this guy thinks there's always going to be a safety net for him.
And it's got to be, it's more than just, you know, I don't understand how a person can live like that. In other words, he has to be assuming that things are more intertwined as the years, as things go forward, right?
Right.
At the very least, this is something I want to be able to do, and you won't be able to step up and join me in that.
Well, I think that exact statement also applies to another dynamic inside of this relationship, which is that there is a certain amount of resentment or jealousy or something about how footloose and fancy free this guy is about his lifestyle, because a friend here is a saver and is incredibly responsible and has been that way. He says since he moved to New York at 18, he has supported himself.
Balances a checkbook.
Proud
is the only is the youngest person alive to still do that.
He knows.
I was gonna say, do they still have checkbooks?
he knows does. Where every dollar is going. And there is some comfort in that. He's a list maker. There is some comfort in that for him. And this other guy, opposites attract or whatever you want to say it, is sort of improvising and making it up as he goes along. And there's always a safety net there to catch him.
Right.
Whether it's $80 or $800, I don't know. But obviously his mother's always willing to give him a little something, or his father, whatever.
And I got to say, this is, it's such an interesting.
And our letter writer is a little jealous of that, I think.
And really what
level.
You want to say is like, except for the thing that marriage might be coming into it, is sort of just mind your own business a little bit. I have been in this trap, especially when it concerns people I've dated and our relationship to money. Of just, I am the letter writer. I count everything. I'm constantly making sure everything's in the right place, that sort of thing. And anytime I've tried to get it sort of inspire that in someone else where it's not naturally there, I just end up, like you said before, resentful. I do not think it's attractive for someone I'm dating to be relying on, as they described it, their middle class parents for money. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like the.
He may not respect this guy to stay enough to stay
right.
with him.
And so then.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Totally. But I do think if you want to stay with him, it's worth a conversation saying like, this is bothering me.
It's definitely worth a conversation with your own therapist about why does this bother me?
Right.
Because this is under your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to figure out what belongs to you and what belongs to him.
You just don't want to be an asshole. Yeah.
It's tough though, because this is like, you know, it's like being teased to something. It's just one of those things that it triggers you. It's important to you. It's how you order your universe. And the deeper you get into this relationship, as Justin was saying, the more this is going to be an issue. Now it's time to buy an apartment. Now it's time to do this. Now it's time to move to another city, whatever. Who's covering what? Oh, I spent all my money at Walgreens. I bought 14 packs of gum and a bag of chips. The other guy's a guy that money comes into his hand and flies out of his hand. He's
but
just
I
one
also
of those
agree
people.
Though that there, and I know people like this who, as the letter writer said, do change their habits around money. That it can happen.
Sure. They have
you
to
can
want
go
to,
from
but,
being
yeah.
it flying out the window to it all being in the bank. Like you can learn that exactly if you want to. If you want
yeah.
to.
But I don't think it's as simple as saying to him, this is driving me crazy, because it will sound irrational to the other person. It will sound like, why is this? You have to find out what it's really about, and then you can address that issue. Because otherwise it sounds like, it's none of your business what I do. That's where every conversation is going to end. But it's none of your business response also means the relationship is stagnant. That that he is giving you the signal that, I mean, people need to be given the opportunity to understand things. We talk about that a lot, which is how can they know unless you tell them really, and really tell them what it is that's bothering you. But that is a sort of sign of stagnancy if he's not really thinking about a more mature arrangement. If that's something
not,
you are thinking of.
This is not a good comparison at all, but it's sort of the thing of like trying to get someone sober who has no interest in being sober. You know what I mean? It just, I get that
or
that's an extreme comparison.
Or trying
but just,
to get somebody to marry who's not ready to get married. Or
Correct.
It doesn't mean that they don't love you, but they're not ready. Or,
right.
But sometimes they're not ready because they didn't understand how important it was that you were ready. So then they have to start thinking about that. Is this something I really want? Instead
every,
of just keeping going along the way you are.
And that every decision they make is a burn to you. You know, like every bad financial decision, like you said at the beginning, Rana, you're taking it personally, and it really doesn't have to do with you.
But if that's true, if it doesn't, and if it really is just none of their business, and it doesn't extend into I'm unable to, you know, provide my part of whatever, then it's up to the letter writer to get over it.
You're right.
You know, right. But I don't think that's true. I think inevitably it does become, especially if they, you know, become more of a married scenario or whatever the deal may be, it will become
the fundamental issue is our letter writer lives in the future and in the past. And boyfriend only lives in the present.
Right.
He doesn't even think about putting money aside for rent.
Holly Golightly.
And so he'll just figure it out. And the other guy wants to start talking. He may not want it with this guy, but in his mind, he's starting to think, what's my next? I mean, even the fact that he just turned 26 and he wants to put himself in my 29-year-old category.
Right.
Means he's the young one worried acting about
like the 30. Older one. Right.
He is worried about 30. He's worried about being a grown-up. He likes being a grown-up. It feels good to him. And the other guy's not really a grown-up. He's 7 years older than him, and he lives like a college student. But like he just got out of college.
What did he mean when he said 26 is, the worst age for
him? Well,
what does that mean?
Go ahead it, Rana.
29.
You should be handing out cards about this.
I should. 20. I've got to come up with a paragraph that I can just tell people. 29 is the worst possible age a man can be. You should never date a 29-year-old man, ever.
Go on.
If you can avoid it, according to Rana. Yeah, because they're just waking up and understanding their mortality at that point. But unfortunately, usually the ambition, et cetera, does not match their fear of mortality. So they're not in a position. We're talking about people that are looking to be and married and stay. People that keep saying, why can't I get this person to commit? Right. He's 29, blah, blah, blah. The answer is because he's 29.
Yeah.
He just realized that he was a man on the day that he turned 29 and that he might have to provide stability. Not meaning provide everyone's a housewife, but meaning create a life.
Grow
and that
up.
Starts today.
Yeah.
Grow up. Exactly. And so it's always a shaky foundation because if you're in a pre-existing relationship with them, they're having a breakdown. A midlife crisis, basically. I mean, it's their first midlife crisis. And then they have the second one about, 42. But
you probably didn't have that, Justin, because you were already like,
I'm still waiting.
Justin has avoided
but Justin
all
was
of
working.
His,
yeah. Exactly. He's always been working. So
I'm just trying to get up in the morning and put one foot in front of the other.
Sure. Can I ask you a question, both of you, that's a little off topic?
Oh, no.
When I saw Breakfast at Tiffany's for the first time when I was like a kid, I saw it at my grandmother's house or something.
Yeah.
Were you all a little disappointed it wasn't more about food? I really thought it was going to be.
Or the Breakfast Club, for that matter.
Exactly. Like, don't confuse children by putting these things in your title.
Especially children that love breakfast.
Exactly. Yeah. But I thought the whole thing was about, like, she was going to have a fantastic breakfast.
I know. That's why a Viennese dessert table is your favorite thing in the world. Because it's a fantasy of dessert.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
you thought it was going to be a fantasy of breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I definitely did not think it was going to be Mickey Rooney playing an Asian person.
Wow.
That I knew for sure. That was not in my head at all. So anyway.
Well, it's exciting. It means the Great Breakfast Movie is still yet to be made.
Justin, you're right. Actually, it's exciting. There hasn't really been a really good breakfast movie. You hear all about like Dinner with Friends and this and My Dinner with Andre. Yeah. There hasn't really been a good breakfast movie.
Well, I will say, when you think about those, can you think of a fantasy breakfast or buffet?
I think of the Little Princess.
What's The Little Princess?
It was an old movie with Shirley Temple, but she gets a really great breakfast.
And does she get a gorgeous breakfast in it?
Yes.
I think of Beverly Hills Cop when he goes to the Harrow Club.
Okay.
And they ruin the buffet. And he says, is this the man that ruined the buffet at the Harrow Club this morning? But he goes to the Harrow Club, which is a sort of fake men's club in Beverly Hills, where Victor Maitland is sitting at the center table having breakfast, and the buffet that is, and then he ends up throwing one of the guys onto the buffet, but the buffet is something out of a dream.
I hope Eddie Murphy is listening to this episode because he's getting a lot of love.
You know what? You're right.
Why don't we have him and Shakira Kane on the same episode?
We should, but I prefer today's Eddie Murphy in personal life than the other one was. The old one was pretty homophobic. So this new one's way
that
better.
The movie is the most homophobic scene in the movie.
Yes, yeah, for
but
sure.
But it is the most homophobic scene in the movie.
Sure, sure.
Where
sure.
he does his character when he comes to the. But as Brian knows,
Bronson Pinchot is the host, right?
Correct.
Yeah. No, Bronson Pinchot works at the Act Gallery. I recently watched this, so Brian knows.
I haven't seen it
in a
decade at least, but yeah.
No, he comes to the buffet and he says he needs to talk to Victor Maitland. And they say he can't. And then he pretends that he's his gay lover. And so they're too embarrassed
and then he just
to pass
got his,
on the
his
information.
Test for herpes simplex.
Herpes
6
simplex
or something.
10, exactly. Right. Yeah, so then they say, why don't you tell him yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Not great. But the breakfast buffet was something to write home.
I know. You're right, Justin. I'm really going to have to. You know what would be great? If you could give me your address when we're done with this so I can come over and shoot some breakfast ideas your way and see what you think.
I'm going to wait for that CB2 table that we can put it on. Yeah.
Well, hopefully it'll be here any day.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I'm waiting.
Was the supply chain disrupted?
So I had this was before that news. I ordered it like a month ago, and the chairs were in stock, I believe, but not the table. So they were waiting for the table was on back order, and so.
But are the chairs already delivered or no?
No, they're waiting so they could be all in one, which is.
And
I
is
think
it a white glove service?
I believe to some degree that there is that.
They come set
it
up.
They're going to bring it onto
CB2.
I think they do it.
They
I don't
do
know how. Yeah, hopefully.
But by the way, they don't use gloves, even though they call it that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Dear Ron, O'Brien, and guest, whatever compliment you have been craving, please feel free to give yourself. I promise you, it is true.
Thanks.
Sorry, we couldn't bother you for your own compliment.
You're not kidding. Excuse me.
I hope my question is seen as a little silly and ultimately a modern day annoyance. I've been married to my husband for 11 years. He is the oldest of 9 children, all from mixed homes and relationships. His family has multiple text chats with different parents, spouses, and siblings in each. It can be a lot.
I'll say.
In the last several years, there have been arguments within the chats where everyone leaves and my husband and I are the last ones remaining.
Isn't that just exhausting?
What an albatross.
How do you leave a chat? Would they actually like take their
name off the chat?
Yeah.
So-and-so has left the chat.
Right.
It's the same as hanging up on someone.
I would just stop responding.
You have to come crawling back a little bit.
Just ignore it. Yeah. Mm.
My in-laws all speak awful about one another, and any one of them is not around, so they're all talking about each other behind their backs.
That sounds great.
My husband really just keeps to himself and half-heartedly attempts to peacekeep. In the beginning of our relationship, I joined in his sister's gossip only to have them turn around to use it against me.
Of course.
Speak poorly about me, block me out of events, etc. They have only recently added me back into a few of the chats and have recreated one chat that everyone had previously left, including my father-in-law. These chats have accumulated over 200 text messages today alone. They are mostly catty. They'll send pictures and memes that just talk about those not included in that group. I have left group chats before, and it only got brought up once to my face. Can I leave again? Do I just wait till the conversations blow up or I get kicked out? The truth is that I don't want to read or know their gossip. I don't want to accidentally see or say something that I wasn't supposed to. I feel like a middle schooler who's just scared of these people and faking like I belong. Do I need to accept that this is part of being there in their family and be glad that they've let me back in? No. Should I bring up some collective childhood trauma that I know will cause a blow up?
No.
It's kind of fun.
It is.
Or keep the chat. Well, if you hadn't, screwed around with Stacy's boyfriend in the 8th grade, I guess we'd never be having this conversation.
Sure.
Or keep the chats muted and play dumb to any topic that's brought up in person. Thank you for your awareness, delicious coffee, and for sharing wisdom. Key, not my actual name. Interesting choice.
First of all, you can mute without exiting
on a text chain. I didn't know that. You can.
That seems like a great option, right?
Yeah.
Then she gets the best of both worlds.
If you could do that on a text chain, I would just mute it, and then exactly your answer is right there. Or my other solution is, Key, I need your email because what you should do is tell them you changed your number and put mine in there, because I would love on these chats.
I would love to read this gossip. Yeah.
And then would you pretend to be Key?
Absolutely. And I would give my opinions on everything. And you know, I might
get Key in trouble, but.
Well, that's fine. You know, Key, under my guidance, will join the Communist Party. or we'll become a revolutionary somewhere. No, Key, honestly, put me on this chat. I'd love to dig in. But yeah, either mute yourself or get out of the chat. It sounds off. 200 texts a day?
This is more toxic than social media.
No shit.
Yeah, because it's personal.
Yeah.
Get out of there. I mean, if you can mute, fine. But also, why not just leave? Who cares? They're not talking to you anyway, I hate to tell you. If you're telling me that 11 years ago or 9 years ago or whatever it was, you had your first incident where you got bit by these people, you know, where you played their game and they bit you, they've shown you who they are a long time ago. You don't have to do any of this.
No.
And you don't have to. They're not including you in the family by letting you listen to them talk.
Wait, I missed that part. They did something. I thought she had been married for 11 years. They did something crappy to Key?
I joined in his sister's gossip only to have them turn around to use it against me, speak poorly about me, block me out of events, etc.
F that. Goodbye.
In the beginning of their relationship.
This is a case of this kind of gossiping, which of course they're talking about you if they're talking about all these other people. It's like, anything you say will be used against you. So what's the point of even being in this chat?
And they're going to talk about you either way. Just by staying in the chat doesn't prevent them from talking.
Just by staying in the family. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, do what your husband does. He doesn't pay any attention.
No.
He's ignoring everything they do. Why do you have to be involved? Because you're a woman?
And it would be another story if they enjoyed it, but it sounds like it's not even like fun. To read all the trash.
You will be at least 20% happier when you leave this chat.
And then I would say, if they ever call you on it, like in person or something, just say, you know, I got to tell you a story. As I was standing in my garage with the gas can dumped all the way over me, soaking wet, holding that match, I thought, is this worth it or should I just leave the chat? So I ultimately decided I wouldn't burn myself alive. So I hope it's okay with you. And see what they say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's great advice.
Or you could say, that wasn't Key. That was V. My evil.
Split personality. Evil or twin.
This guy, Brian, who I gave the number to.
That's this guy, Brian, whose number I input on this phone. So, you know, he is sorry for calling you all those names and exactly
sending all those Antifa memes.
Why did you leave the chat? It was a lot. I was getting 200 text messages a day. I cleaned out all my phone. I'm not on any of my chains anymore. Okay. So those are our letters today. Now is the time in the program.
It sure is, Rana.
Where we have to award something to somebody.
Right.
So Justin, you might remember this.
I do.
So we're going to go through the three people who wrote in and we're going to decide who should get a little something from the podcast. Is it the friend whose friend is being inappropriate with her boyfriend?
Right.
Is it the financially incompatible partners in New York? Or is it the just Key being distressed about leaving the family chat?
Do we know what the gift is?
Today we're giving away Ask Rana Coffee. We haven't done it in a while. It's summer. It's summer. A perfect iced coffee, particularly the shades of vanilla, I think.
I agree. I had it this morning.
So we're going to let people have a little, indulge in a little summer cold brew with the Ask Rana Coffee. Of course, if they love it, they're welcome to order it again or subscribe. AskRanaCoffee.com. $3 off every bag.
Yeah.
Always free shipping domestically.
Rather be looking at it than looking for it.
There we are.
Yeah. Fair trade.
Fair trade.
For any jerk who's still asking us. Yeah. It's fair trade.
What do you think, JK?
Well, you could give to the financial trouble people, and then he could sell it to his significant other for a very tidy profit.
That's great.
Who's having a hard time and needs a swirl of iced coffee? Do you think he's having the hottest time?
It's so funny how the weeks go, because they're sort of all at the same level of hard time to me. But I think maybe it's him. I don't know. Justin?
I mean, I'm always also sympathetic to someone whose large extended family is a pain in the ass. So
I don't
know. Well, I'm worried about making him too anxious and hyped up if we give him the coffee.
Well, you know who, you know, actually on the thing Justin just said, it would be nice to brew yourself a delicious cup of coffee, sit back, get out of that chat.
Click.
Yep. Yeah. And then sip it some more.
And say, I've done something to take care of my, this is self-care. Self-care is clicking out of this chat.
Yep.
Yep.
But I want her to know, if we sent her the coffee, you got to get out of that chat.
Oh, yeah. You can't have both ways. Mm-mm. If you're not getting out of the chat, send the coffee back to us. We're going to send you the address of the guy whose boyfriend can't rub two pennies together.
You'll have to pass that on.
Yeah.
And that'll be New York City shipping prices.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. So we're giving it to group. We're giving it to group chat. Is that, Justin? Are you supporting that?
Sure. I mean, look, I hate to leave anyone out, but yeah, and this must be tough where you have to do this and turn a couple of people down every.
I have to say there was a couple weeks ago that I was shocked. It was with Alaska, Rana, that I was shocked at the person Alaska picked.
Yeah,
I think it was Alaska, and that was one of the few times where I was like, did we give it to the right person? But then I think we ended up giving it to something
to someone
else too. I think
I overturned her. I can't remember what
you might have. You might.
She chose somebody, and then I decided to veto it.
That might
be my way.
I think you're right.
Maybe you could do a thing like they do on the game shows, where everyone gets some sort of half-ass gift, and then the one person gets the good one.
Well, are you saying the coffee's not a good gift, Justin?
No, I just said everyone gets the people that don't get the good gift.
Yes.
Also get some sort of, you know, a trinket of some sort.
Could we offer your white glove services if they end up ordering furniture as one
Absolutely.
Of the other
Absolutely. Yeah, okay, I would love to set someone's
I have to say, I'm a little against giving it to the one with the family.
Why?
Because I just think she lacks courage.
Well, a lot of people do, Rana.
A little caffeine will fix that.
I guess that's liquid courage. But I think she knew what she needed to do all along.
Who are you gravitating toward?
I am sort of gravitating towards, you know, it's true. Everyone is sort of on the same level of trouble today.
Well, we haven't discussed the threesome at all. She seems to be out of the loop.
True. Unless she wants to serve her a cup of coffee while they discuss this.
Yeah.
Do that.
But I mean, I feel that the guy with the partner is the most in crisis, but I also feel that he needs to, it's tough, but he needs to take a hard look at what's motivating all of his resentment and anxiety.
But then I'm worried, Rana, that once we give him coffee for free, because he does seem like he's really, really focused on not spending money, that he'll keep writing in for free coffee.
Or that he'll have to have a new expense, which is he'll have to start buying the coffee.
That's true.
And we don't want to add to his trouble.
No.
Yeah.
Or you'll probably just see it on eBay, I think.
Honestly, he might try to make a buck from it. I think you're right, actually.
All
right. Your initial thought. Yeah.
Okay, we'll give it to Key. All right. Now, Justin, dear, you can leave if you like, or you can stay to listen to our cliffhanger. It's entirely up to you.
I'd love to hear the cliffhanger.
Okay.
Great.
And you're not on any social media.
I'm not. I've remained.
Smart. So people
how
can't
have I made
follow
it this
you.
Far? No, you'll just have to hope to run into me at Ralph's, which is my new. Now that I'm Valley adjacent, I go to Ralph's.
Oh, I see.
Oh, well, the one on Vineland and Ventura, without pinpointing exactly where you live.
In the
shopping center.
Yeah, where there's also like a Rite Aid and the.
That's the best Ralph's in the city.
It's a pretty fancy Ralph's.
It's a fancy one, and the aisles are really wide. It's a good one.
The Westwood is pretty good too. I seem to remember the one by the
Westwood
Geffen.
Ralph's.
Right next to the Geffen.
Yes,
so
I know
the
one you're talking
at the
about.
Geffen, then you go there for lunch, and they have like a wine bar, and not that you have wine.
Wow.
Ryan, are you a Ralph's shopper?
Well, I used to live where in that area Justin's talking about. I used to, a long time ago, lived in Toluca Lake, mm-hmm. and I would go to that Ralph's a lot.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyway.
Brian Diep, would you care to read this?
Oh, yeah. Cliffhanger. Dear Brian and legendary guest, I should say so.
That is true.
Mm. Yeah.
Capital L.
My sincerest thanks to you for sharing your brilliance, humor, and style. Y'all continue to bring joy. Okay, this is from Texas or the South. Y'all continue to bring joy in these stressful times. I can't sing your praises enough. Excuse me.
I do have to ask a quick style question while we're here.
Yeah.
Justin, were you offended when Brian insulted your outfit on the Valentine's Day episode? I do feel we should clear the air on that
outfit,
before
Rana.
The episode is over.
I didn't insult
don't
his
think
outfit.
I wasn't thinking about it when I put on this.
Did it affect? We were wondering if it would affect what you wore today.
I was kidding.
Well, also, the one thing I remember is you then informed him that
you were watching.
Also, yeah, that it wasn't live, that I was just like sitting around when that happened.
That's true.
And also, what was it? Was I in a t-shirt? Is that why? Is that what it was?
Yes. And Justin, I do need to apologize. I never would have said that to your face had I known you were watching.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
You looked great.
He would have said in the family group chat, but he never would have said it to your face.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Sorry, dear.
Okay. So, thanks, but Ron, I do appreciate you getting
that. Well, we have to practice what we preach.
I agree.
If there are things that need to be confronted, we have to confront them. Yeah.
Absolutely right, Ron. Yeah. Thank you. Again, thank you. I'll go ahead and give a bit of backstory. In 2016, I started grad school and met a classmate who I'll call David. When I first saw him, I was instantly attracted. It felt like, wow, I'm supposed to know that person. For context, I was in my early 20s, David was in his late 30s, and we're both openly gay. Wow, they must have been in a graduate program or something. It turns out my feelings were spot on. David and I had a similar sense of humor, bonded over shared experiences, and looked at life the same way. We developed serious feelings for one another and formed an intimate relationship both physically and emotionally. Okay. I was in love, and it was, all caps, fabulous. However, there was an issue. He was in a monogamous relationship with his long-term partner.
Oh.
Great.
Oh, I see.
That's an issue.
Just a little issue.
Yeah. He cheated on his partner with me, and I engaged fully knowing what was happening. Mm. It went on for about a year, but it became harder and harder to ignore that we were causing harm to another person.
It is tough to be a little nymphet, isn't it?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the guilt became very real. We ended things, parted ways, ceased all contact. By this time, our grad program had already ended too. That was about 2.5 years ago. Fast forward to present day, and I still miss David. A lot. Enough time has passed that the guilt has subsided some, and what feels most apparent is that I still have feelings for him. Our relationship held far more meaning to me than just the physical aspect, though the sex was fantastic too, and I miss our friendship deeply. We have several mutual friends, and I've heard through the grapevine that he's no longer with his partner. My question is this. Mm. Is it inappropriate to reach out to him? And if so, what would I say? On the one hand, the idea of reforming a relationship, even a totally platonic one, What would I say? Plus, I'd like to get closure about the way things ended. On the other hand, the nature of our relationship was dishonest, and I'm pretty ashamed of that. Maybe this situation doesn't warrant closure, and perhaps it's very selfish of me to reach out. Since your people's opinions happen to be right most of the time, I'm desperate for your thoughts. I'm so thankful for any advice you're able to offer. Kiss, kiss, M. Please don't mention my actual name.
Okay.
There it is.
There it is.
Justin Kirk, thank you so much.
What a pleasure.
You might be our only three-peat.
This is our three-peat.
It might be
three-peat, I think. Well, no, Paul F. Tompkins
has
been on three times
also,
as well.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with him.
His work.
Right, sure.
His oeuvre. Oh.
Yes. He was also in the production of Angels in America, I saw.
I don't believe that.
He played the Emma Thompson part.
He played the angel. He played the angel.
So Paul and I are the Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin of Ask Rana.
Let's say that's Steve Martin.
You're the Terry guys. You're both the Terry guys.
Yes. Yes. You're the Terry guys. I love that.
You're the Larry Bud Melmans of Ask Rana.
Sure.
Yeah. He was the little guy that always came back to Letterman. All right, dear. Thank you so much for being with us. We absolutely love spending time with you. We're delighted to see you. And your new home looks gorgeous the next time I'm in Los Angeles.
Thanks. Please.
I'd love to come see it. I'm inviting myself right over. Hopefully CB2 will have delivered by then.
Yes, yes.
And if people want to hear the answer to that cliffhanger, which I don't know why they wouldn't, they should go to patreon.com/askbrianna. And of course they can join. $5 a month gets them into the carriage house. $10 gets them sauna privileges, which means they can see the video. And we have so many fun things happening over there as always. So have a wonderful, afternoon.
Summer.
Rest of your summer, hot girl summer. I don't know what summer it is. It's changing every week. There's a new summer that people are having.
It's true.
So just to have your best summer. How about that? I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Have you ever met Caitlyn Jenner?
Me?
Justin?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I haven't. Have you guys?
Mm-mm.
No, surprisingly, no.
I was just curious.
Yeah. All right,
actually, I was the person in the hangar next door, sick of seeing the homeless people that she was
referring
you were?
Okay,
to.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What she really is, what a wonderful example for the world.
All right, dears. Kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss.